Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Federal prosecutors in Boston are expected to call the first witnesses today in the terrorism trial of Tariq Mahana, a 29-year-old man from Sudbury. During opening statements yesterday, jurors heard two very different narratives about the American-born Mahana. The government said he devoted himself to advancing the cause of killing Americans. Mahana's lawyers portrayed him as a boy who made his mother proud and as an American of conscience who exercised his free speech rights. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
It's not every day that you get to see Osama bin Laden in a Boston courtroom. Then again, you don't often get to see Santa Claus either. But yesterday, Courtroom 9 had both. First, bin Laden, who, though he never got an American trial of his own, was called up onto a video screen in the trial of Tariq Mahana and used to link Mahana to both al-Qaeda and the Call to Arms. As prosecutor Aloke Chakravarti began his hour-long statement to jurors, Osama bin Laden were the fifth, sixth, and seventh words out of his mouth. When Osama bin Laden used the word jihad, and later, when this defendant used it, Chakravarti said, it meant fighting with and killing American soldiers. With bin Laden's voice and face filling the courtroom, already filled with Mahana's supporters, the prosecutor informed the jury that Mahana had translated bin Laden from Arabic into English, all from the comfort of his cushy bedroom in Sudbury. When Mahana published them and distributed them, they had the label, "This is a product of al-Qaeda," the prosecutor said. Mahana acted as the English language wing of the propaganda machine and encouraged people to jihad. When you're making it more accessible to people around the world, that's a vital service, the federal prosecutor intoned. That so-called vital service is tantamount to providing material support to a terrorist organization, which is the language at the heart of the main charges in this case. Outside the courthouse, Mahana supporters insisted that Mahana had been unfairly targeted for his political views and his Islamic beliefs. But on a day of contrasts, a small but combative contingent was holding a counter-rally and a single sign thanking the FBI for protecting the country from terrorism.
Terrorism is at the end of a long process of incitement and indoctrination, and that's what's happening. They're inciting, they're indoctrinating,
says Dr. Charles Jacobs. Jacobs is a columnist for the Jewish Advocate, a longtime media watchdog, and critic of what he calls the failure of the federal government and the Jewish community to deal with anti-Semitism and Islamo-Nazis.
We're saying that what he is teaching people and what he is saying is despicable, and for any moderate Muslim leadership to defend that and not to shun him and condemn his views really is an index of who they really are.
Language that is harsh, offensive, unpopular, and disturbing has more to do with the case against Mahana than any physical acts. The government does not charge Mahana with committing physical jihad or violence. Here's his attorney, J.W. Carney.
I believe this case is about the defendant's right to express his views publicly on a controversial subject. In the United States, that freedom of speech is what makes us great, what makes us strong, and what makes us free.
When you hear someone is a terrorist, it's scary, Carney told the jurors. But with his hand on Mahana's shoulder, the lawyer said his client is innocent. Now came the other narrative of the son of parents from Egypt who came to this country because they wanted to speak their beliefs without fear. In an attempt to soften his defendant's image, Carney showed jurors photos of the grade schooler learning how to hit a baseball, playing rock and roll guitar, and, in the most incongruous photo of all, sitting in the lap of Santa Claus. How Mahana traveled from Santa's lap to Nirvana fan to religious scholar seeking the purest form of Islam to admiration of bin Laden was an arc J.W. Carney touched only lightly. Mahana didn't hide his beliefs. He wore them on his sleeve, Carney told the jurors. Carney underplayed just how offensive and disturbing some of Mahana's emails, instant messages, and secretly recorded statements actually were. Independent advocacy of his beliefs, even if they are held by Al-Qaeda, is not a crime in the United States, he reminded the jurors. It's a case that clearly pushes the reach of federal law into new territory and brings the criminal statute of material support for terrorist organizations where it's not been brought before. Carney tried to brace up the jurors. We are the United States, Carney told the jurors. We are not afraid of what other people say, or at least we're not supposed to be. In what's expected to be a 6 to 8 week trial, it was quite a first day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.